Hello and welcome to this episode of the Dinfos Way. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy journalist and a current Dinfos instructor. Joining me today is Miss Susan Leroy. She's the Chief of Community Relations at Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall and a former Dinfos instructor. She'll be joining us today to talk about community relations, what it means to our career field, what it is, how you can do the job and be better at it. So, Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I knew you as a Dinfos instructor here. You just recently went to over to Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall about 6 months ago or so, and we miss you here very much. Your skills were definitely very appreciated while you were here.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I do miss it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you left in some sense, because now you get to talk to us about community relations, which is not something that we get to talk enough about, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. When I was an instructor at the schoolhouse, I mean, I had never actually done it on a full scale before, just pieces of it, and then teaching it. And now that I'm out in the field doing it, it's like, woo, there's a whole lot more.
Absolutely. Well, for anybody who doesn't know anything about community relations, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do every day.
So our community relations at Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall is pretty heavy. We're in a unique situation where we are the only Army Marine Joint Base in the country. So we have this unique opportunity to not only get our commander out into the community for the Army, but also, you know, for the Marines as well. So we're kind of unique as well, having a commander and a deputy commander. Our commander is Army Colonel. She's Tasha Lowry. She just started there the same time I did. And our deputy commander is Lieutenant Dexter, and we call it Colonel Dexter. And so he stays in the building with us. So we have both sides represented. Community relations, what I do is get my commanders out into the community where I need to let the community know who my commanders are, what their intent is, and to keep building bridges, new bridges, and to keep our current partnerships going. There's a lot of people don't understand what goes on behind the picture. And I've scheduled many office calls with our community members to come in and talk to our commander about why it is important that we work together with the military and the community outside of base. So my job is, it's almost like herding cats. And I had a very dear friend tell me that before I left Dinfos. And he wasn't wrong. You're scheduling events to have your commander out at, but basically community relations is just that. Getting your commander out into the community to let the community know that we are thinking of them and that we know that we can't do this alone. So that's, in a nutshell, what community relations is.
Very cool. Do you guys have specific measured objectives to meet those goals, or is it just you know, an overall mission that you attend to in various different ways at different times, different objectives and different goals?
Well, we it depends on the time of year, honestly. But our goals are is to make sure that our community knows that that partnership between the base commander and them is it's a strong one. I was just in an office call with my commander with our Northern Virginia Regional Committee, and you know, it was more of an informational meeting for her to understand what that partnership is with the local community, knowing what our partnership we have said it's an international governmental agreement, and just like they purchase salt for the winter. Okay, and then we will purchase it at a better price from our county outside. So there's huge partnership. They do a lot of surveys to see flooding and electric infrastructure. So I guess it's the needs of the community.
Gotcha.
And then our need put together. So it depends on what kind of year it is, but basically we're, yeah.
Do you guys do you know, different events that bring the military community and the outside community together?
We do. Just being into the job 6 months and the commander coming in the same time I did, we really tried to push her and get her out to a lot of events. She went out physically to a lot of the community events And then we hosted a community commander's call at a local library. Not only is she responsible for a Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall, but also Fort McNair, which is in Southwest DC area. And she's also responsible for the emergency services that we provide to the Pentagon as well. So she's providing emergency services not only for Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall, but the Pentagon and, you know, Fort McNair as well. So we got her out there. We had the local leaders invite them into the library where we hosted the event. And it was just a sit-down roundtable, a very intimate thing where they got to hear what, you know, what my commander's intents are. You know, listen, this is our concerns. We have problems with housing. We have problems with childcare, which is what all bases are having problems with. And so we let, like, we had developers that are developing outside of base say, what do you guys need? What can we provide business-wise? So it is extremely important that she has those relationships as a commander so that the community can help us and we can help them. There's a lot of asks that they want from us. And as you know, as a military base, there's a lot of those asks we can't give the community, but we can also be open to hear them.
What seems to be some of the things that the community is especially interested in bringing up to you guys?
The community really there's a huge safety issue with Southwest DC or DC as a whole. I'm sure it popped up in the news quite a lot. And every week we're briefing the commander on safety issues in the community. So that we can't help the community by keeping them safe, but we can let them know that we're aware of those safety issues. So, I mean, we can't go out there with our police and help them police the street. But, you know, let me tell you, that partnership is pretty huge.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that they're specifically concerned about that happens on base? Are there any particular noise complaints, or what is it that the community is concerned about as it regards to, you know, base activity?
So, as with any base, there's going to be noise complaints. And so we do get them. In order to not get the complaint as much as most bases, we tend to put out on social media times when there's going to be exercises so that they know there's going to be different booms. Having a unique base like Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall, they're going to hear booms every day. Because if anybody knows, we are butt right up to Arlington National Cemetery. Mm. And there are funerals every day that go on. And so we're having a lot of procession on base, and the old guard is huge where we are. And they are constantly practicing their shots. When they get military honors for a funeral, of course, you get the salute with weapons. And so the old guard is out there every day, outside my window, practicing their shooting skills. So so it's a unique thing. We try to speak to the realtor to let people know this is a unique area. I'm living next to a military base. Listen, we don't have a training base. However, the old guard does practice their military honors. And, you know, we try to let people know outside of base what's going on. But keeping the communication with, like, anybody out into the community to let them know. When the noise complaints come in, we direct it in the right area. There's a couple of small satellite bases. The Navy has a base just outside where we are. And they like to play the national anthem or TAFs or whatever bases do, right? And so we got the complaint on that, and my director investigated and let them know this is the base that's doing that. Please direct it to them. So we're really hurting all these different complaints in the correct areas. We also getting people to come in and measure the decibels of our noise. Mm. So recently we just had them come in and do a decibel test on our base so that we can provide our community with that and to make sure we're not exceeding the decibel amount allowed.
So it sounds like you have to deal with, you know, the Arlington National Cemetery, and you have some other really unique challenges there. Is there, mm-hmm. Is that kind of thing, you know, written down in a handbook, how to deal with those unique challenges, or is it passed along verbally, or what's kind of the pathway to learning the SOP for those kinds of challenges at your installation?
Well, our installation, our director, she's been doing this for quite a while. Not only has she done public affairs, but she's also, she was doing community relations before I got there. And she really does go up AR360-1. Like every bit of our program that we do, we are always following the AR360-1.
Can you explain what that is for listeners who may not know?
It's a public affairs guideline. It's a public affairs regulation that the Army has set for us to follow.
Gotcha.
And we follow that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Excellent. So you guys follow that, and that sort of leads you along with the ideas and the goals of your mission and sort of how to approach those concerns. You know, even the unique issues that you may have, I would assume there's some kind of at least, you know, foundational knowledge or a bedrock way to have those building blocks up to what you need and for any given situation.
Right. Yeah, that was, like I said, it was established before I got there. My director was kind of doing two jobs before I got there. So we're really going off her training. She's also been so trained. She certifies the qualification course. So she's gone through that. She was actually working up at Fort Meade for a while, and we kind of stole her away. So we're kind of grateful for that. But the woman has so much knowledge in the public affairs field. And she still keeps close ties with the people that she's met throughout. And with, as you know, public affairs is such a small field in the military that you pick up the phone or you pick up the, you get on Teams and you search for anybody in public affairs, and it's like you pretty much know somebody.
Absolutely. Are there any success stories that you guys share around the office or anything that your Comrail program has achieved that you're especially proud of, either before you got there or since you've been there?
The ones that we're super proud of, and it really has been, it's been a busy summer, and I'm not kidding you. We hit the floor running. It was hard because I learned my basics of community relations as I taught them at DINFOS, but there was so much more to it. Like, you know, updating contact list for community members in Southwest DC area. And that means the list I had was a couple years old because the pandemic kind of put a lot of our programs on hold, like getting the community out. But our community commander's call was a huge success. It was measured by the relationship built there, meeting some of those community members out in the Wharf area in D.C., and the fact that they will now contact us when they need something, that was a big success. We had our retiree appreciation day, and with community relations, we met a lot of people through like the vet center, art therapy, and just through our community relations program, we included more resources to our retiree appreciation day to help our retirees out. So you get a VSO, which is a veteran service officer, to help veterans with their claims. And so just trying to build those internal annual programs. So like all summer, we've had her out and about and just pushing her. And I think she's kind of grateful that it's the holidays. So we kind of worn her out.
I mean, that's a good thing, but just
hearing my commander brief other people about how well events happened that I did, I was like, yeah. So absolutely. It's great. And I have more ideas for the future, too, so.
I was just going to ask you, are you able to sort of add your own ideas and flavor into a program that was already established before you got there?
Yes. So the one big thing that I am really pushing for, and of course I need to be in this role a little bit longer to help get to that point, because right now I'm trying to get my commander to the point where everybody knows who she is. I still have a few things. Our school board superintendent, we're getting ready to have a town hall with the military service members and their families who go to the Arlington Public School. So we're going to have this big town hall so that there's going to be an open arena for our service members' families to be able to ask questions and to voice concerns about the school system. So we're creating that. But what I find, and this is great because it's a thing that I learned while I was at DINFOS, is podcasting. I really want to get my commander's voice on a podcast, perhaps quarterly, something that our community outside of DACE and our residents will know what her priorities are and what she's still working on. So I have the equipment, but we're trying to figure out how to get that and maneuver it so that we can get her on a quarterly podcast for our base. We're going to work on it, but I think that's going to help get her voice and reach more people as well.
You know, I think that's a wonderful idea.
I do too. Thank you, Dinpo.
So just a minute ago, you mentioned that you guys have had meetings with some community leaders and they're able to get into contact with you now about issues that they have. Do you guys have any sort of communication pipeline for just your local average Joe to reach out to you guys? Is it social media? Do you have a phone number you advertise? Or sort of how do you determine what your average community member's concerns and needs are? Do they reach out to you and tell you at all?
We do. Everybody that is in our area, they know they can go to our homepage. And if you go to the contact us, it is the public affairs all email. And there's also my director's cell phone number on there. So our deputy commander asked my director, he's like, Sherry, that's your phone number? She goes, absolutely. I want everybody to know that they can contact public affairs no matter what. And we still believe that. We don't care what's going on. If there's a problem, if you have a question to ask, please reach out to public affairs. Also, we are huge in socials. We have as a recent PEXU graduate. He's also graduated DINFO's mass communication course on base last year. So we picked him up. He runs our socials. He's doing Facebook. He's doing LinkedIn. He's doing Instagram. He is getting ready to start picking up doing video reels, which we haven't done before on our base. So we're really trying to highlight all of our uniqueness and reach our community. And when we posting, they have no problems with commenting back. If there's any issues, they have no problems with reaching out to us. So there's many avenues, whether phone call, email, or socials. They have those avenues to contact us if there's any issues.
That's great. You know, I fully believe that all of us in our career field should be reachable by the public. I mean, they're in the name of our career field for goodness sake. So that's great that that's what's happening over there. That's excellent. And my next question was going to be about social media and the role that it plays in your Comrel effort over there. But it sounds like that you guys have a pretty good plan in place. You know, do you post pretty often? Are you covering your bases on all the platforms? You know, what's your social media program look like over there?
Well, our social media is, they're posting every day. So there's a lot of times where we have events going on, special events. You know, we also try to share the other units on our base. Pershing's own, the ICS Army Band, is right next door to my building. They're out practicing every day. Shout out to Tusab. Okay, we love them. So anytime they're out in the community and they're performing, we like to share the socials as well. Also, the old guard, Todd, their public affairs person was also a former Infos instructor. He left just a month or so before me. And so we're constantly trying to promote our unit. Our socials are active pretty much every day.
That's great.
Either posting something going on or road closings or just any kind of communication is always pushed down on the social.
That's great. Do you guys also have plans in place that where you sort of work on collaborations with local organizations, maybe folks in the media or local businesses, community leaders? What are your plans in place as far as collaborating with those folks?
Well, those plans were already in place before I got there, and then I just jumped into those big shoes. What they are is there are monthly and quarterly meetings that I go to represent my commander. The Northern Virginia Regional Committee really deals with governmental affairs, which is a separate subdivision. Arlington Chamber, we're really huge with them. But what we try to help them with is our transitioning service members leaving the military. We really work with the chamber and try to help fill positions that are vacant and, you know, get our vet jobs. So we really coordinate with the Arlington Chamber. We also have the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, which is a separate subcommittee. And we actually have retired colonels. One's a retired Army colonel and a retired Marine colonel who are chair and sub-chair on that committee. And it's all run through Arlington. So I'm going to meetings all the time. I'm contacting people if they have questions about stuff. I'm putting them into Vice Commander's office if they need to speak to her. So yeah, it's never ending.
I'm sure. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
What is your guys' relationship with the media? Do you send press releases out? Do you foster communications by having them come on a base? What kind of relationships do you guys have with them?
With the media, we have a very close relationship with the media. We do send press releases out when we have big events going on. We had the governor of Virginia come to our 9/11 observation on base. Not sure everybody knows, but when 9/11 happened and the Pentagon was hit, our fire trucks were over there. All right. So we had our Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall guys over there fighting those fires when 9/11 hit. So it was a big deal when we had the governor there. We did send press releases out, and we don't have a media relations program per se. Our director, if we need to escort media, we pretty much, they call my director and she handles that. So we have a great relationship. They do pick up the phone and call us if they need any kind of reason to get on base. So yeah, we're talking to the media. I mean, it's not on a daily basis, but my director has dealt with the media. They know her, she knows them, and they know that if they need to pick the phone up and talk to us about anything, they know to call her.
Oh, that's great. It sounds like you guys have managed to foster a really great relationship with people in your community, not just, you know, local community members, but community leaders, the media. It sounds like you guys have some really solid plans in place to stay, you know, friends with those folks, which is what we want.
Yes, we, and like I said, I mean, I know a lot of times people are out on base and they don't realize how much the community, how much they need us and how much we need them. We've had a problem with flooding on base. And like I said, the county outside of base paid to have a survey done. And after these studies and these surveys done, they come back and say, listen, you need to fix, we have a stream coming into the base. It you know, before it gets to the base, it runs through base and outside the base. And what happens is there's so much storm water that floods that we have actual lots on our base that flood. From what I understand, it got up to 4 feet one day. So the county has come to us and said, listen, so you know, we need to fix this and we need to fix this. And it's just outside your base, but it should help with us. Nothing's in place yet, but our partnerships with our plans analysis and integration office, PIDO, they work a lot with the community as well with doing surveys and making sure our infos are in place. So, you know, learning all of that intricate parts in just the last 6 months, my head is still swimming.
It sounds like a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that at the front of this, getting the commander out, all this, then afterwards, it's just like, hey, we're having a Christmas reception. Come to our commander's Christmas reception. Or, hey, they're having the Twilight Tattoos going on, which is a huge thing we do on Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall. It highlights our band. It highlights our old guard. And it's something we're really proud of because it's a musical review with a lot of pomp and circumstance. And it's just beautiful. And we do plan on inviting the community to that for a commander's reception coming up in just next summer sometime. So, you know, we never stop. Even during the holidays, we're still communicating with our community. And you know, they're letting us know, hey, we're having Christmas dinner here or there. And we're like, thank you. So, yeah, keeping the communication going with the communities outside our base is huge.
Oh, for sure. And you know, based on what you're saying, kind of you've got your own base leadership. You've got Arlington National Cemetery you butt up right against. You've got folks from the Pentagon that you're sort of dealing with. And then dealing with folks in the local community as well. So you guys are really, you know, the perfect sort of liaison there between that local community and not only your base leadership, but organizational leadership in the general area as well, which is not something that you see from every single base.
Exactly. And we have headquarters unit. We have the biggest Army unit in all of America stationed out of our base. And so Lieutenant Colonel Hollingsworth is amazing. He covers soldiers everywhere. So I have never been on such a unique base before until now. And what I'm seeing is a program that has been working. We've been doing some tweaks. Once my director got here last year, she did more tweaks. And I think we've got a well-oiled machine and we're just going to keep greasing along.
Do you work directly in the public affairs shop or hand in hand with those folks? Or how does that work as far as your organizational chain of command?
I do work in the public affairs shop. So we have five people on our team. Our director, Sherry Kuiper, she kind of like is the mother hen. She makes sure everything gets done. We have Jason Goslin, who is our social media person. And we have Pamela Kulakit. She's our chief of command information. And then we have Denise Kasky. She's our editor. She's in charge of our, we actually produce a magazine quarterly called The Pentagram. And we highlight a lot of stories on our base and our service members of McNair, our Meyer campus. And so we really try to highlight stories. And they're working on a year in review right now. So we have a lot of moving parts in our base. So we have a nice room where we can all collaborate and talk about things. Our director is just across the hall. And so, yeah, we're not only talking to our public affairs team, but the Military District of Washington, General Breeden Camp, we're always in coordination with them too, because they're over on the McNair campus. And so we're in coordination with them as well. So there's a lot of wheels moving.
I think that's a really important point for students and anyone really who's interested in our career field, but our students especially, is that, you know, for what you're dealing with, you know, for the amount of organizations and units that are special on your base and the folks that are around you and the people that you work with, your shop is five people. And you're dealing with, I wouldn't say, you know, an inordinate amount of public affairs issues, but your mission is certainly very large and extends not just beyond, not just to your base, but beyond as well. So it's important for the people in our career field and for students to know that coming into a situation like that, having five people is sort of the norm.
It is the norm. And, you know, they may end up at a base that they may be the only PAO.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that has happened in the past. I'm not sure with all the restructuring, if it happens anymore, but I mean, I know when I was in uniform and out in the field, you would see that I would be the only one in that office covering my sergeant major as a DNE, you know, not sitting in the public affairs office. So there's unique opportunities that are like that you may not be sitting in a public affairs office. However, do not forget that you need to keep communication going with other public affairs offices, because you can't do it by yourself. I mean, we have five people, but we still have to reach out to other offices to get our spread out there. We're doing a year in review, and we're trying to gather all the stories together for us, for our service members that are doing extreme sport. And so we've reached out to even people down in New Mexico. So keeping that going, we're in MCOM, Army Material Command. They're always hosting teams meetings for us to sit in and listen to training, and they're always providing resources. Don't think you have to recreate the wheel. Reach out to other organizations. It's like, hey, we've got, you know, Native American Heritage Month coming up. You know, what resources are you using? OSPA is another great resource to get things from. You don't have to recreate the wheel, because they create and give those resources to us. You just need to adapt them to your base.
Interesting. That's, you guys deal with so much there. It's kind of amazing, actually, listening to you talk about all the things that you do there. That is a lot of stuff. And not just that, too, but then, again, as you mentioned, you also have a physical media in the form of a magazine that comes out quarterly, which is something I'm a huge fan of, and not enough bases and organizations, I think, are still doing that. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's still a work. Listen, they've been doing this for a while. There's unique challenges in doing a print product as well. I mean, you have to deal with contracting a publisher or somebody that will do that and work for the military. It's like they'll throw all their ads in there because they're giving us their stuff for free. So there's huge partnerships and contracts that you have to deal with. And I just deal with the community relations part of it, but I'm still in the office and I'm still helping my team, achieve goals, writing stories when needed, doing press releases. So yeah, I do community relations, but if they need help with a story or something, I'll do it.
And good for you. And that's exactly how it should be. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
A little while ago, you mentioned how your base is very close to what happened with the Pentagon on 9/11, and some of the firefighters went out from your base to help out over at the Pentagon on that day. Obviously, that wasn't something that was planned for, and whatever plans you had in place for crisis situations certainly probably didn't involve a plane crashing directly outside your base. But do you guys have plans in place now for sort of crisis situations, and what do they run the gamut towards? And, do you think it's important to have those in place?
I absolutely believe that having those programs in place, every public affairs office should have their contingency plan in place. All of our plans are set on a SharePoint drive. It's accessible. We come or go, it's there. It's not necessarily an SOP, but we really do have these things set in place. The things that happened back then are still accessible to us. We can adapt to any other incident that happens. Hopefully nothing else happens. But those are in place. We actually do have, you get bomb threats. So we have those contingency in place. We have our director, and they'll contact her. I mean, DES, Director of Emergency Services, knows they will contact our director, and then she can initiate those, and then we start working on command information. We talk, we work on press releases. We talk to our commander and get her thoughts on it. And then, everything's in place, and, it's been established. And we just keep adapting to current time stops. You start to get cyber attacks. You start to do this. So those basic plans for SOP for the crisis control are really established already. This has been around for a while. This is our unique location. So we just adapt to current times.
That's great. And I'm glad to hear you say they're easily accessible, because I know that's one of the concerns that students have when they leave here is, as we've already mentioned, they might be the only person in that shop, and then crisis situations happen, right? So it's important for them to be aware of the fact that, that they're not alone, that they can reach out to their peers, and that people have planned for this already, and that those plans exist and are accessible to them.
Right. You will get nervous. Trust me, doing something by yourself, you get nervous and you almost go into panic mode. Do not go into panic mode. You've been trained by DINFOS because they try to help you cover situations that could put you in panic mode. So follow your gut instinct. You've been trained, okay? And if you cannot find any crisis information, contact somebody you know. If you have to reach back to an instructor, they can tell, okay, what base are you at? Let me see if I can contact the public affairs office at another base to help you with a similar kind of crisis information, crisis communication. So don't panic, okay? You are not alone, even if you are alone, if that makes sense. Reach out to somebody. Because listen, if you reach out to our public affairs office, we can absolutely help you. So, and I'm sure that's true across any public affairs office across the country. So even if you feel alone, get your mentors, talk to any of us. We are happy to help you.
Absolutely. Do you guys over there have any upcoming missions or programs or constructions or new things happening or anything out there that is going to require the support of the community? And how do you plan on engaging them with that?
We do have there, of course, across the country. You've heard our barrack issue, correct? So that is what we are working on. And again, with our unique situation, some of the homes that we have and the barracks we have on base are historical buildings, okay? So we really have to work closely with our community's historical people because over at Fort McNair, we just ended up renovating a couple of homes over there. But yet you have to keep certain historical aspects of a home. Anybody who lives in a historical district out in the community understands that you can't, if you have a historical home, you cannot just go and paint your house black. You have to get approval with a historical society to make sure you're doing things correctly. So even with construction and stuff that we're doing, we have problems with getting paving done. So, you know, we do have to rely on our community. It's like, listen, can you help us with getting somebody that is a reliable paver? You know, hey, who's a good contractor that we don't have to worry about? You know, you're constantly in contact with your community, and they can help give you suggestions or, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's how we keep in contact with our community. Now, over our McNair campus, there's a lot of construction going on in the Southwest D.C. Buzzard Point area. They're building lots of apartments. And, you know, we had several meetings with them. They're asking us, what do you need? And we're like, our people need places to eat. Our people need barbers. Our people need apartments. We need childcare, you know. So as they're building these, you know, these tall buildings, they're also looking at, what kind of businesses can we sell or niche the space to? So keeping with the community, making sure they know what our needs are. And, you know, and sometimes their needs, if we can be sympathetic and empathetic, but we can't do it. Like for Ethereum, they want to possibly do a pass around base. And with the unique location of it, we may not be able to help them with that. But we may be able to help some in other areas. So we, you know, it's really hard because you've got to do give or take. There's a lot of give or take. So yeah, trying to keep with the community on that, it's fun. it's a challenge, but those challenges are encouraging to be able to find a new way to do something. So, you know, you may have, don't tell them no. You try not to tell everybody no. You have to tell them, listen, I can't tell you no, but I also cannot tell you yes. We have a lot of working wheels you have to grease to try to get to one happy point. So, you know, and so there's a trying to keep that partnership going, and that's what you do. It's a challenge. It's a juggle, but it's fun.
Is that, it sounds like you guys are really up to date on getting feedback from the community. You know, they reach out to you, you reach out to them, you're getting a lot of active feedback, which is great. Is that your primary method for measuring the success and failure of your Comrail efforts? You guys do look for other methods, or is that kind of immediate feedback what you're looking for, as well as your social media feedback?
Well, that is basically the only kind of feedback that we can get. Our command information, making sure the Colonel Lowery's voice is heard by everybody, that success is measured through social media analytics, of course, and then, of course, for community relations myself, it's hearing actual things said by the community in these meetings that are talking to this commander and hearing my commander say, you know, afterwards, it was a huge success. I got to hear what their concerns are, and we're going to meet with them again. So it's verbal, it's really verbal, the way to gauge your success with community relations.
As the community relations person, you know, I am, let me rephrase that because I'm starting to stutter because it was stuttering in my head. So let me go back. as the community relations person, you know, it sounds like you're obviously going to a lot of meetings on base and a lot of meetings with base leadership. How much of your time is spent going to community meetings, for instance? Do you go to town hall meetings that are just specifically for the community? Do you go to I don't know, like business openings, or do you do anything that is related to just dealing with the community, or is it always going to be something that walks hand in hand with the military?
I do both. I mean, I meet with a lot of community meetings. I get invited to, there's lightning meetings. There are things we get invited to, like I went to a community action committee. And as I sat there, my thing is getting people to know who I am and to know that if they need to contact my commander to talk to me. So my fact-finding mission when I go out to these meetings is networking, finding out what people do. And if they're telling me, oh, yeah, we try to target our military friend to help them with this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh, really? Let me connect you with this person on my base. So I'm not just out there because of my commander. I'm doing goodwill for her, but I'm also connecting the community with other members on my base to help them, you know, help our service members. That's my job. Make sure that I get the needs of all my service members met and to make sure my commander is keeping those partnerships going.
Oh, that's great. How do you stay informed about current trends and other best practices in community relations? Do you have other professionals that you reach out to? Do you plan on coming back to Denfos every now and again? Or sort of how are you going to stay up to speed with what's happening out in the Comrail world?
Well, short term, we do. We listen to podcasts, and we do have like webinars with Army Material Command for their communication, digital media. MCOM does something that we do. We also do a PAO sync with my other campus, MDW. Yes, we also go back to Denfos. Director told me she's probably going to send me back to school next year at Denfos so we can get a C. So that's another way I'm going to keep up with that. But basically social. You LinkedIn. You know, as I was getting out of the Army back in 17, we used LinkedIn for getting out there and telling people, hey, this is what I do. I love to work. So in my head, I thought LinkedIn was just like, it's a place to connect and, you know, look for a job. No, LinkedIn is a great place to see people out in the community. If you're looking for somebody to, you know, help you with a unique situation in your area, get on LinkedIn, do a search, reach out to people and talk to them. It's another way. Like when I'm out in the community, they're like, what's your LinkedIn? And we're exchanging LinkedIn information. And that's another way for me to communicate with the community is to get on LinkedIn and to talk to people.
Excellent. That's great advice. Actionable advice, too, which is really important.
Yes.
Looking ahead, you know, as you go from your 6-month mark here into a year and forward in your new spot and your new career, what kind of key priorities and future plans do you have? Does the organization and the base have? What are you guys thinking about as you look towards the future?
Well, we're coming back off a pandemic situation. So we're really trying to get our programs back up and running and getting out into the community, like community breakfast. We're working on getting a lot more community events coming up. Getting my commander, she says, can't you get me off base? I said, absolutely. So after the first of the year, we're going to start getting her out to other events that are happening. She likes to go. She is wonderful with kids. Like, she will go out. If it's kid-based, we're going to get her out there. I want to do, like, we're redoing our bowling center on base. So once they get the floors installed and everything set up, I want to do bowling with the commander. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do because it's about the community. I want the residents to know that they can access our commander as well. So we're working to do that. And just trying to get our podcast up and going, get our social media ramped up even more. So, you know, we got a full team. So we're really going to be pushing to get, you know, we're going to be getting to everybody to know who we are. So
awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Susan, I have the final, I don't often do this, but for you, I have the final Denfos famous last question for you that as one instructor to another, I must ask you, which is, as you know, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Just one final thing. don't be scared of community relations. Here's the deal. It really is just being friends with those outside our base. If you ever get a chance to be a community relations person, do it. Oh, my goodness. It's so much fun. I do sit at my desk certain days. I'm searching for information, looking through the LinkedIns, you know, and all this stuff. But there are days I get to go out and have coffee with people and say, how can we make sense of that happen? And I get to go all over. I get to meet people, you know. So don't be scared of community relations. It's super busy during certain times, but it's so rewarding when you get to see your commander out there with the people, and then when she's leaving, they come to you. Thank you so much for having her come here. They're thanking me. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you for inviting us, you know? So don't be scared. It's a fun job. And what people don't realize how important community relations is, because without bridging that partnership between community and the military, they, you know, we wouldn't have the trust that we have. And so you got to build the trust with those outside of base, and community relations is the way to do that.
Excellent. Fantastic advice to end the episode on. Thank you, Susan.
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you coming on, and I hope more than anything else that I get to see you again here in the building soon so I can say hi.
Well, cool. Hopefully soon, maybe next year.
Excellent. And then we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, hopefully in the future when you've got some more time under your belt. We'll check back in and see if you can give us a little bit of update on your latest Comrail programs and successes.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us, Susan. We appreciate you.
Thank you.